Sunday, August 29th, 2021. Welcome. Our scriptures this week are Isaiah 65, 17 through 25, James 1, 17 through 27, and our sermon scriptures is Luke 10, 25 through 37. Our sermon title this week is The Three Mindsets of Life. If you would, please open your Bibles and read with me. Isaiah 65, starting at verse 17. Behold, I will create new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And no longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Our second scripture reading is from James 1, 17 through 27, starting at verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. For he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard by doing it, will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Our gospel reading this morning is from Luke 10, 25 through 37. The parable of the Good Samaritan. So on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied, and how do you read it? Well, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now priests happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." So which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Well, the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, this parable is so familiar that there are groups who don't know anything at all about Christianity, but they know this story. We all know the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we may not know anything at all about why the Samaritan was an important character and how Jesus turned the least likely person, and probably the most politically incorrect person, into a hero. But we know the story. And we've heard it so many times that we usually just tune it out. So maybe what we need is to look at it in a different way. So let's try this. So in the golden days of the settling of the West, you will remember, of course, that one of the major means of public transportation was the stagecoach. But did you know that in the stagecoach days, they had 3 different kinds of tickets you could buy? First class, second class, and third class. Well, a first class ticket meant that you got to sit down. No matter what happened, you could remain seated. If the stagecoach got stuck in the mud or had trouble making it up a steep hill, or even if the wheel fell off, you remained seated because you had a first-class ticket. A second-class ticket meant that you got to sit down until there was a problem. And then you had to get off and stand to the side until the problem was resolved. You got off, stood to the side, and watched somebody else fix the problem. And when the situation was corrected, you could get back on the stagecoach and pick your seat because you had a second-class ticket. Now, a third-class ticket meant that you got to sit down until there was a problem. And then you had to get off and push. You had to put your shoulder into it and help solve the problem because you had a third-class ticket. So as I thought about this recently, I realized something. I realized that these are precisely the ways in which people relate to church. James tells us, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look at their orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Some think they have a first-class ticket, and they just sit there and expect to be catered to and waited on and pampered. They think, like many of God's chosen people Isaiah was writing to at the beginning of chapter 65, that all they had to do was sit and wait on God to carry out his promises. Others think they have a second-class ticket. They ride along until there is a problem. Then they bail out and become detached spectators. They get off, stand to the side, and watch somebody else fix it. They're like the priest and the Levite who pass by on the other side of the road. But still others, and thank God for them, think they have a third-class ticket. They ride along until something goes wrong, and then they get off and push. They address the problem creatively. They work on the situation productively. They help fix it. They give their energy to the immediate task of solving the problem. They roll up their sleeves and get the job done. Now, these 3 ways of relating to the church are really not so new. They're as old as the Bible itself. In fact, they were so pronounced in the time of Jesus that one of his most famous parables was told to address that situation. That is what the parable of the Good Samaritan is all about. The priests and the Levites in the story thought they had privilege tickets, first or second class tickets. You know, they didn't want to get their hands dirty. They didn't want to get mud under their fingernails. They weren't about to travel third class. They were special people, important people, holy people. They didn't need to get involved in the problems of the world and just let someone else do it, see to it. That was their motto. But on the other hand, the Good Samaritan, he realized that he had a third-class ticket. So when he encountered the problem, he knew exactly what he was supposed to do to get off and help solve the problem, put his shoulder to it, and bring healing, roll up his sleeves, and go to work. Well, that's what third-class ticket holders do. They don't mind dealing with difficulty, and they don't mind getting their hands dirty. They don't mind taking a risk or getting involved. That goes with the territory when you have a third-class ticket. And by the way, don't miss this now. That's what made the Good Samaritan good, wasn't it? He was willing to help, anxious to heal, eager to serve, ready to live, and quick to address the problem. He was bold enough to deal with the problem in a creative, loving way. He gave the traveler who was injured a first-class ticket in the care that he showed him. That's why to this day we call the Good Samaritan. He addressed the troublesome situation lovingly in the Spirit of Christ. So as James reminded us, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. Well, third-class ticket holders are indeed good people to have around. Our Jesus taught us that not only here in this parable, but in many other places, he said, I'm among you as one who serves, like in Luke 22:27, or in Matthew 20:25-28. We read, those who act privileged will be last, but those who serve will be first. Those who rush to the front and act exalted will be called down, but those who are humbled servants will be lifted up. I am among you as one who serves. That was the mindset of Jesus. And over, time and again, we hear him saying it. We see him doing it. Remember early on how he went out into the wilderness to think through the meaning of his life and the method of his ministry, of what kind of a Messiah he would be. And that was the question he was grappling with. And he was tempted to claim a first-class ticket. He was tempted to go the route of power and pleasure and privilege. But no, instead he chose the way of a suffering servant. He chose a third-class ticket. Having made that choice, look at what he did next. He went directly to the synagogue and read aloud to the people what was to become the theme of his life. Go look it up. You'll find it in Luke 4. Here's what he read to jumpstart his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now what he was saying simply is this. No privileged seat for me. I have accepted a third-class ticket, and now I'm going to tackle these hard problems. Well, in life and ministry of Jesus, we see something very, very important. And namely this, that God gives us a first-class love, but a third-class ticket. And he tells us as well, as the experts of the law, to go and do likewise. So when trouble comes, when difficulties rise, when problems emerge, we have to get off and push. We have to roll up our sleeves and go to work. If, that is, we want to live in the Spirit of Christ. Now let's be more specific. Let's bring this closer to home as we look directly at these three mindsets, these three ways of relating to the church and to life, and see if we can find ourselves somewhere between the lines. First of all, look with me at the first-class ticket mindset. So some folks in the church act like they have a first-class ticket. They just sit there and expect to be catered to and waited on. Let someone else do the dirty work, not me, is their cry. Well, recently I read about a man who got to the point where he could no longer help all around the house, and he told his wife that he was physically unable to work around the house anymore. So she sent him to the doctor. Well, the doctor gave him a complete physical and then later came in with the results. The man said, Doc, I can dig it. Just tell me the truth. Give it to me straight. Well, the doc said, well, in plain English, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just lazy. Well, the man thought for a moment and then said, could you give me a medical term for that so I could tell my wife? Well, recently I read a sermon with the title, Are You Standing on the Promises or Just Sitting on the Premises? And the truth is that some people relate to church with this sitting on the premise mindset. They sit lazily on the premise because somehow they have gotten in their minds the mistaken notion that they have a first-class ticket. So no matter what happens, they just sit there and expect somebody else to do the work and cater to them. Now look next with me at the second-class ticket mindset. So have you ever noticed that some folks relate to the church like they have a second-class ticket? That is, they ride along and enjoying the journey until there's a difficulty or a problem. Then they bail out, stand to the side, or become detached spectators. Now, while they stand there watching others working hard to solve the problems, there is an added temptation. The temptation is to become a Monday morning armchair quarterback. The temptation is not just watch, but to criticize and gossip about the way the situation is being handled. They say things like, they're doing it all wrong, or would you look at that? They don't know anything. That group couldn't organize a two-car parade. And if you ask me, I wouldn't do it like that. That's the way the spectator mindset works. Let's find somebody to blame this on. They stand and watch. They talk and critique and blame. They don't help. We read in James, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Like the priests and the Levites, they move quickly to the other side, thinking they have no responsibility to address the problem. And I don't want to get involved, so I'll stand to the side and wait until somebody else fixes this. But this is not the Christian response to trouble, is it? Certainly not. This is not how our Lord taught us to deal with difficulties, is it? And as a matter of fact, this was way of relating to the church and to life is at best not helpful. And at the worst, it's even dangerous. So that brings us to the third-class ticket mindset. In our families and in our business and our nation, and especially in our church, we need people who are willing to work, anxious to help, ready to love, and eager to serve. We need people who are determined to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. We need people in the church and in the world who are quick to get out and push when we get stuck in the mud. Some years ago, a ministry friend of mine was talking to a man about joining the church. And the man said, I want to join the church because I want to be fed. Well, my friend answered, well, that's fine, but we would all be better off if you would take off your bib and put on your apron. Well, how is it with you today? Be honest. What kind of a ticket are you holding right now? The scripture makes it clear through the life and the teaching of Jesus Christ that God gives us a first-class love, but a third-class ticket. Will you go and do likewise? Well, in his service, this has been Pastor Joe.